Another wild day in the life of Jesus here in Mark chapter 5. Never a dull moment with the Lord. Never a dull moment for Him. So if you want a life of excitement, gladness, sometimes of rest where, you know, not much is going on, that's okay. But certainly not you wondering, oh, you know, when is my life going to count for something? Jesus making an impact on everybody that He meets. We want Him to meet us that way in worship today. Well, the Lord had just finished saying to the storm, "Peace, be still." So if you're full of turmoil on the inside, He could say that to our soul. He showed us in the last passage, which tonight the folks will focus in on again, is He's Lord of creation. Okay, all the storms of life, all the beauty in the world, everything that has been made from His hand. Creator and sustainer of all there is. So He's Lord of creation. Now we see Jesus having absolute authority over evil. Now that's a big deal. Okay, is there any evil in the world today? And who has absolute authority over that? Not the devil. The Lord. Okay, now that's a different message, but that's what the Bible clearly says over here. Here we have a guy who is impacted by an evil spirit. He's possessed by an evil spirit. And the evil spirit's wreaking havoc in the man's life. He has no ability to fight off, you know, the evil within him. And as soon as Jesus shows up, what does the evil spirit do? Put off your dukes. Let's have a contest. Let's have a match here of almost equal power. No, the evil spirit says, I give up. Please don't hurt me. You know, I know you are God Almighty. So we have to keep that in mind when we face evil in the world or evil in our own lives. And so as we go around the world, a few people we will meet will be demon-possessed, at least that we're aware of. But all of us have been impacted by evil itself. Okay, few people will be demon-possessed that we're aware of. All of us influenced by evil itself. So one part of the straight-up good news of the passage here is Jesus defeats evil within our own lives or evil within anybody's life. Okay, so we'll focus in on the man and the Lord, not the pigs or the crowd. Although with the pigs, urban legend has it that since that day, something appeared on the menu that was never there before. Deviled ham was there. But that's just urban legend. Not in the Bible. Okay. So the poor man is demon-possessed. This is a real thing. He's living in outside of town, in the cemetery, out of the cemetery, chained hand and foot, breaking chains, screaming day and night. You see why I said most of us don't know a demon-possessed person like this. No clothes on, the other Gospels tell us. Cutting himself on the rocks, too strong for anybody to help him. And Jesus rescues this impossible case. Okay, so there's a lot of evil in the world. There's a lot of big sin in each of our lives. But Jesus, very powerful, can rescue us. We want to lean on Him. And Luke's Gospel says, after Jesus helped the man, he was calm and in his right mind. That would be a gift from God. So the man tells people how much Jesus did for him. The man was enslaved. He was rescued. And he had a story to tell. And that's what we'll think about in terms of the impact for our own souls. And other folks have give them credit for this outline. Just as dramatic in our soul is Jesus' rescue mission for us. Enslaved by sin, we need rescued both to meet Christ and to walk with Christ. We need rescued, and we have a story to tell. Story to tell. Vicki said, sing a little louder so the neighbors could hear. That's the outstanding singing there. And, of course, telling by how we live and by the introducing yourself to the folks around you. That's effective also. So the man can't help himself, and the man can't save himself. When Jeff Norris talked to the guys a couple Friday nights ago, He said, when he started thinking about the Lord, somebody came up to him and said to him, you make a lousy Savior. Okay. Jeff, you have to get out of the Savior business. And that's a good message for each of us. We can't save ourselves. We can't save anybody else. Christ can rescue us. Christ can help our loved ones as in difficult straits as they might be. And so one important thing to know, Jesus, seeking after the lost and the ones who are most in desperate need, which turns out to be any human soul. Okay. Important side issue of the passage I wanted to make was this. The man has an evil spirit. The man is not just suffering severe mental illness and so responding to life in that way. Most mental illness of today can be managed and helped by counseling, supportive relationship, medication. You know, there are people who fight schizophrenia. They get some help in a bunch of ways. They, with God's care, they can function pretty well. So the man with the evil spirit doesn't have mental illness. The person, people you know with the mental challenges don't have an evil spirit. Okay? So you make sure to keep them two separate. It's important for us to see, as Christians, mental illness as a physical illness. After all, your brain is a part of your body. Is it not? Okay? So, you have the diabetes, you take the insulin. Right? There's no evil spirit involved in that. You have the heart health, you take the aspirin. You have the arthritis, you take the Bengay. Okay? And anything that affects the brain in a manner which malfunctions, simple, the medicine, and good connection with others is a part of your overall health. But the man's soul was captive by evil. The most painful thing in his life, he was 100% rebelling against God. Okay, and unless you and I are rescued by the Lord, we will be enslaved by sin and evil. So it's kind of two sides of the fence. Rescued by the Lord, we're definitely in chains and our soul crying out for help in a big way. So when our life is light, without the Lord, we kind of mimic this man. He lived in the tombs. We're spiritually dead. Now, somebody who's spiritually dead is somebody who doesn't know Christ, but it can also be a Christian who's not walking with the Lord. No life. I've felt that way. I don't know about you. You know, I know Jesus hasn't left me, but I feel spiritually dead because I'm exhausted physically or I haven't been paying attention to God. It can happen in any relationship. It certainly could happen between you and God. Okay, but he can remind us of who he is, give us life again. So if we turn away, we're more like this guy. We're isolated. So others can be a part of our health. Don't get isolated. Okay, this is a problem in our culture because we super value privacy. You know, we love privacy. If we get any more private, we won't, you know, recognize our neighbor. Who is that? Is that, what's his name again? But isolation is not healthy. So this guy was going to get back to the people connection real fast after he met Jesus. And no one seemed to be able to help the man. If we're without Christ, ultimately, we can't help ourselves. Best counselor in the world, he can't help us. Wonderful Christian family, they can't help us. The government could come in and give us everything we need and surround us with safety and all this. That can't help us. Only Jesus can help a person enslaved by sin. Okay, and that's why he comes, the rescue mission. If there was goodness from some other way, he died for nothing. He come to rescue us. The essential desperation of the human soul. Here's the man. He felt it. And we feel it without the Lord. And then without the Lord, our soul also screams to him sometimes. I don't know if we ever scream at God. What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of God. That's a desperate person. That's what the man did. And also, we race in 10 different directions at once. That's beyond multitasking. But the man, he made everything important to him, himself too, instead of the Lord. Timothy Keller, who commented on this passage, said, we could even take good things in creation, and if they are sweet and gifts, but if we put them ahead of the Lord, we make those gifts sour. When we put them in front of the Lord and start to worship them, family could become sour. We said we want the perfect family, and then everything will be fine. That's putting a family before the Lord. How about perfect spouse? Do you want to be that way for somebody else? Well, you're not. Do you expect the other person to be that way? You're not. Don't sour that relationship like that. The common one among Christian circles is you worship the church. How many like to worship the church? Church is a wonderful group of people, a gift of the God toward each other. If you worship the church, you're going to sour the church. Oh, I thought the church was going to be wonderful, and look at a bunch of bums. Don't worship the church. Don't worship work. That's more of a rare instance nowadays. Or your health, or sexuality. Oh, if I was just close to, the right one or multiple ones, I would be just as happy as Hugh Hefner there. He's not that happy. So that can't be it. It's that gift. Don't put it ahead of the Lord. Money or power or self. And if we do so, we cut ourselves on the things of creation. Our soul gets injured. Just like this man did. Even young people nowadays, some to relieve stress, which is a sad thing, or try to control life, will, physically hurt themselves. And this is something that can be overcome. So, in our minds, without Christ, we're an enemy of God. Just like this man with an evil spirit. And that's my real condition without God, hostile to Him. Part of the gospel we have to face is that without God, I'm a dead man. And I can't make myself alive. He can do that for us. He did it for this demon-possessed man. Lloyd Ogilvie, former chaplain of the Senate, comments on this day in the life of Jesus. He says, Christians, ask yourself questions to watch patterns of sin that might be inviting more evil in your life. Okay, we have sin that God can forgive and overcome, but we don't want to wed ourselves to the sin, so we're going to have more problems than we started out with. Watch for patterns where you cut yourself up verbally. That's what he mentioned. Or cut others up verbally. But there's a whole industry of that, But you're made in the image of God. Why are you talking bad about yourself? You and I are sinners. Yes, we know our need. But to put down self is not of God. Watch the desire to play God, to act like God in our activities, out work, out play other people. Watch the desire to self-indulge or the desire to be more religious than other people. Okay? Believers are susceptible to this. I want to be more religious than a little bit higher, a little bit deeper than the other guy. That's not from God. God's high. Okay, we get to be close to Him. In the Old Testament, God said it smelled in His nostrils when His people were just outwardly religious. Instead, we could be grateful what God has given, and also the tendency to become an accuser of the brethren, to judge other people's motives. It's good to, because you, out of love, you see behavior and you know this behavior is good, this behavior is sin. We want to do that for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters. This behavior is good, this behavior is sin. But we shouldn't judge other people's motives. Oh, I think I know why they do this and so on. And also, we shouldn't be an ultimate judge of anybody else's salvation. Okay? You don't know who the sheep and the goats are. right? Only God knows that. Okay, and even when Jesus told that parable, guess who were surprised about the sheep and the goats? The sheep and the goats. The sheep said, I can't believe I'm a sheep. This is fantastic. And the goat said, I can't believe I'm a goat. I'm surprised at that too. So don't be so fast to say who the sheep and the goats are. That's for God to do and to know. And watch patterns of unresolved anger in your life. God's word says if you let the sun go down in your anger, you give the devil a foothold. Okay, so that bitterness it leaves you with ungratefulness in your soul. And when that happens, there's no love, no joy, no peace, no blessing of walking with Christ. Well, that was that man in the graveyard. And even his will couldn't set himself free. So I wanted to say this. I think this is very important. Keep this tucked away in your values and in your worldview. You think of all the things in creation that have been tainted by sin, which mentions some. There's economics and parenting and marriage and church and government. All that stuff tainted by sin, our own health and so on. So our will, okay, our will, which we say, you want the free will, you know, that is tainted by sin too. That's not like the only part of creation that's absolutely pure. Here I come with my free will. I could pick good anytime I want to. Not according to the Bible, we can't. Okay, and even toward our experience. We need God. If we're enslaved, if He doesn't set us free, we're never going to choose Him. So Jesus rescues the man in and out of the cemetery. He rescues us. And we say, Lord, rescue my soul. If you're here, you say, I can identify with this man. There's so many problems I can't overcome. It's like Legion. Jesus would come to you and say, okay, good. The sin goes out, and here I am. There's the Lord. Charles Wesley, part of his testimony was, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. That was the man in the cemetery. And another part of his testimony, he said, long my prison spirit lay, okay, fast bound in sin and nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. In other words, God showed himself to me. I woke, and the dungeon flamed with light. Wesley said, my chains fell off. My heart was free. Finally, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. So that's the rescue that Jesus has given us. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's as impactful as the healing of the demon-possessed man. I think your story about what Jesus means to you is powerful enough to help bring salvation to any person, anywhere. Because it's a testimony to the Lord. Okay, even if you were somewhat of a mild-mannered person, you know, and you think, I used to not pray very much, and now I pray a lot, and that's my testimony. Thank the Lord for that. That's enough to say, well, God can change. If He can change that person, He can change me. I saw the movie on TV, parts of it, Argo, which was out a number of years ago. On TV, they cut down on the cussing. Wouldn't recommend it at the movie place, but it's a PG-13 thing, I think. Stories of attempted rescue by Canadian government, American government, to get some six hostages out of Iran. Okay, I won't ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. But it was amazing. Spent half the movie in the organizing of the rescue. Americans to the Canadians. And Hollywood had to get in on it, you know, people were desperate. It's turned to Hollywood. So anyway, they go, and I won't tell you the end, but the effort and the plan of Jesus to rescue you and me, heaven, to Bethlehem, to the cross, all the sin and all the love meeting, and then to the resurrection, and then His Spirit being sent to each one. Wow. He looks at us and says, Father, forgive them, from the cross. And He rises from the dead. Mentioned that on the third day. It's something to think about. You know, what does it mean to me that Jesus rose from the dead? So I have life forever now. Not sin, not death, not health, but life with Christ, Lord of heaven and earth. And so Jesus, He's the real one, powerful, heroic, rescuer of souls, seeking and saving that which is wiped out by sin and the evil in the world. And we do have a story to tell to people. To talk to one fellow, he said he was a businessman, he used to focus in on goals of his business, and that was an honorable thing. 5-year goals, meet them. 10-year goals, let's meet them. Retirement goals, you know, it could be help others or lay on the beach and get soft. Okay. He had big plans. The same plans I had when I was 12. He was nuts. So that was his plans. But then the Lord came into his life and he said, now I have plans for today, but I also have plans for 1 million years from now. 1 million years from now. God has plans for me and I have plans with Him, and I know I will be serving, and I know I'll be praising, and I know I'll be thankful. That's my plans. Oh, that's from God. You know, the plans that God gives, we have a story to tell how He has changed our lives. And I want to share just a little bit in terms of being enslaved, rescued, and a story to tell. And not only did it happen in the past, but continues to happen. My chains in my life were fear. Okay, I would be the last one to be at a fight. I guess I would show up eventually, if necessary. Fear, selfishness. Anything having to do with me, I was interested in. Anything not having to do with me, not interested. Could you identify with that? My perspective was, you know, who will take care of me? Who will love me? Who will feed me? And then Christ comes, and all of a sudden you start to think, how can I honor God? Walk with Him. Help somebody else. Anger also was a chain. Chip on my shoulder about everything. That wasn't good. Now more peace. And God comes, and He gives rescue. He gives help. He gives. He loves us so we can learn how to love. This whole thing as a follower of Jesus for me has been a lesson on learning how to love. I went from no desire to love anybody, pretty much. It's embarrassing, but it's true. To, from God, concerned about others. Love the song, makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And so your life and my life, because we have a story to tell. By how we live, by what we say. And just say how God has helped you yesterday, or today, or from the cross. But basically, your life and my life, like the cemetery guy's life, our life can't be explained apart from Christ. Somebody would say, well, I know them. I think their whole life is about what God has done for them. That's the only thing I could figure about them. And it's true about you. It's true about the man in the story. And so we're sent with a story to tell. Interesting, too, the guy said, can I go with you, Jesus? Let me get in the boat with the other guys and go back across the lake. Jesus said, no, just go home and tell everybody how great the Lord has been. So it's a good clue for us. Really, first base about being a Christian is, are we a Christian at home? Right? Who cares about an hour on Sunday? I mean, we can get some demon-possessed guy to come and fit in a church service. But to walk with the Lord in the home, oh, that's really... This helps us have a story to tell. And God gives us the opportunity to do that. So, you're without Christ, you and I are enslaved. We're rescued by Him. We have a story to tell. And enjoy telling the good news. This guy, he went. Okay, he went further than even what Jesus directed him to do. So would you lean on the Lord like that? Let's pray together. Lord, the good news of who you are is truly amazing. And thank you for reaching out to this man with an evil spirit. Maybe we don't know too many people that we would say, oh, that's really bad off. But if we look in our own soul, we probably would say, we look like this guy in a part of how we think and live and do or fail to do. But you helped this man and delivered him. So rescue us, Lord, from sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and put us in the wonderful fellowship of having you as Savior, Lord, who directs us, and friend. And the wonderful story we have to tell. Help us to tell it well, to tell it simply, clearly, realistically, and a lot of news about Jesus and not a lot of news about ourselves. And keep us putting you first in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.